ahead and be seated. Go with me to the book of John, John chapter 12. John chapter 12, look at verse 23. It says, "And Jesus answered them, saying, 'The hour's come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor.'" Now, I want to just kind of get into this and talk about this a little bit. Now, Jesus was really speaking about his resurrection here, and he's using the parable of the seed of wheat or the corn of wheat, you know, the kernel of the wheat there. And he's talking about the fact that, you know, it's got to be put into the ground, but, you know, most of us around here are, you know something about farming at least, and gardens, a little bit of about gardening. It's getting to be less and less all the time because less and less people seem to be doing it. But those of us that do know, we understand the parable because we know that you have to place that seed in the ground and you cover it up, and that seed literally begins to rot. It dies there. But out of the middle of that death, there begins to spring up new life. And the Lord's talking about the fact that he understands and knows that he's going to be the seed that's going to be planted in the ground that's going to bring forth all humanity being sin free. He's got to be the first that dies. And then he says, you know what? When I die, I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to be raised up. And he that believes on me now, they're going to be able to die and be raised up. And so he's using this analogy of the seed so that we can understand about dying and rebirth. And so when we start looking at that, he's saying, you know, if it dies, then it's going to bring forth much seed. Now, here's the thing. The seed is, when it's planted, it's a different thing than what it is when it's reborn. Right? Come and think about that. You take a kernel of corn and you put that kernel of corn in the ground. Now, you don't get a kernel of corn popping up, right? The Bible describes first the blade, then the stalk, then the full, you know. But yeah, you have that little blade of corn coming up there, you know, and I can't help it. I just had a flashback last year. The crows came along about the time mine popped up and started pulling it up, you know. But you got to protect your crop. Okay, but he's talking about, you know, that seed changing form, really. And it goes from that kernel, and now it becomes up just that little green blade, and after a while it kind of grows. And it grows right on into a stalk, and then the stalk itself produces ears of corn that have many, many, many kernels on them. See, that one little kernel can produce much fruit if it's placed in the ground. Now, I can tell you from experience that you can put corn kernels in a jar and put a lid on them and set them in your cabinet, and they'll stay right there as long as you leave them there. And they'll never produce anything. They'll just sit there. Nothing happens. They don't die because they're not placed in the ground, and nothing happens. It's just there. Now, sometimes you can reuse those and save them and be able to plant them, and sometimes they're not very good when you plant them like that. Some people put some seed in the freezer. Guess what? Nothing happens to it in the freezer either. It only grows when it dies in the ground. Okay? That's when then it becomes new life and it begins to produce, and it begins to produce much fruit. Now, I kind of want to save this just a little bit. We'll talk about it in a few minutes about the pruning part of that. But I want you to just get the point that it has to die first so that it can produce what God wants it to be. You do understand that you and I, we have to die in order for us to become what God wants us to be. Now, you know, I'm not talking about dying that physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death, dying out to self, dying out the flesh, to the flesh, and we're going to talk about that some. Go with me over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Paul's writing here, and he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." Notice that. See, he's trying to let us know this. He goes on and says in verse 8, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death has no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul here is doing the same thing. He's trying to let us know. He said, listen, we've got to die out of sin and be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that the old man is dead. Amen. And I talk about it the most time when we have baptism, the fact that baptism is the symbolization of the old man dying. When it's placed under the water, that's symbolic of being placed in a grave, in the ground, dead. But when you come up out of the water, that's symbolic of you being raised to new life. Okay? And so Paul's trying to get us to see here that when we died, when we were risen again, we died out to the old self, we died out to sin, and when we rose again, we rose to new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are no longer bound by sin. Come on, see, that's something to know. That's why the Bible talks about if whom the Son makes free is free indeed. We have been made free through and by our belief in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we're living this life of freedom, free from sin, just because we died. We died spiritually. Did you hear me? We died, and when I say died spiritually, I don't mean away from God. I mean we had died, our spirit man got reborn. The old man had to die. That humanity in us had to die. And then we were raised a new creature in Christ Jesus. Right? "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And so now we've come back in now, and we're alive to Christ, but we understand that we had to die first. And it seems to me like sometimes maybe we don't want to let go of that old man. We try to hold on sometimes, and there's things about the old man that tries to linger around. Now here's the thing, folks. You got to realize that we're always going to have to deal with our flesh. Come on, now, I know we mortify the deeds of the flesh, but this flesh is fleshly, it's earthly, it's worldly, it wants to do the things that flesh does. Right? The lust of the flesh, right? The pride of, lust of the eyes, right? Pride of life. That's all part of this, in this world. Now here's what you and I got to understand. Once we let that old man die, once we've made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, now we understand and know that we're new creatures and the spirit man on the inside of us has to be the boss. You've got to let who you really are. This body is just a shell to keep us alive here on earth. When we go to heaven, there won't be no blood in it. Come on, Jesus, when He came back, He said, "Touch me and see if I'm not flesh and bone." Won't need that blood. Because the spirit man is what's living. This body, we're going to get a glorified body. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? See, I want you to understand the deal here, that this body is temporary, but the spirit man is eternal. And once we give our life to Jesus and start living in this new life, now we have to let the spirit man lead, guide, direct, let him be boss. If you let the flesh be boss, even though you gave your life to Jesus, before you know it, you'll be right back in the pig pen. That's why the Bible talks about it. It says, you know, a hog returns to its wallow, or it returns to the mire. You have to make sure that you take control of this body. You bring it into subjection. Paul said, I beat my body. And what he's talking about there is not that he physically beat himself, but the fact that he had to really come down on himself. Right? He said, I beat my body, lest after I preach to others, I myself become a castaway. In other words, he's saying, you know, I can't tell somebody else that they've got to bring their body in subjection and not bring mine into subjection. I don't want to tell somebody else how to live and not live that life myself. You see, and a lot of times we Christians, if we're not careful, we'll say we're children of God. We'll say we're new creatures. We'll say we're living for God. But we're not showing the example to others with the way we live our lives. Amen. We put things before God. Come on, we act like other things are more important than God, and there's nothing more important than God. Come on now, every one of us do it from time to time. That don't make it right. I'm just telling you that we need to understand what we're doing so that we can repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I put that in front of you. I allowed that to take place of you. And he says, you'll have no other gods before me. And so as he's writing here, he's letting us know the old man is dead. We're now alive in Christ. Now, jump over here with me to Galatians chapter 3. Actually, Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. Let's look at that. Once again, Paul writing, he says here in verse 19, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now you've got to understand, Paul is trying to get the people to realize that they're no longer under the old covenant, that they are now living under a new covenant. Once Jesus Christ was resurrected, he brought forth the New Testament, the new covenant. Before Jesus was crucified, everybody still was under the old covenant. Even Jesus himself was a minister under the old covenant. But once Jesus was resurrected, now we moved into the new covenant. We moved into the era of grace that we're still in. So he says, you know, I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Listen to this. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice what Paul says. He says, you know, I'm crucified with Christ, but I'm still alive. But I'm living a different life now. I'm living a life now by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, that's the life you and I are supposed to be living, is a life of faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. We shouldn't be listening to what the world says. We shouldn't be not living like the world lives. We shouldn't be taking the world's advice about things. Come on, church. You see, we're different now. We're not in their kingdom anymore. We're not ruled and reigned by the flesh or by the prince of darkness. We are now led by the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of us. So the life we're living now ought to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. When we do something, we need to do a check. Holy Spirit, show me what to do here. You give me advice. You help me. You lead me. You guide me. You direct me. And he will. But see, a lot of times we're so busy with life, we don't even take the time to check with the Holy Spirit to see if it's something we ought to be doing. Anybody ever done that besides me? I got both hands up. I've got t-shirts, hats, buttons, with the whole deal. Right? Come on. If we're not careful, we get so busy. One of the greatest pieces of advice I ever got in ministry and actually in Christianity is the fact that when you're trying to make a decision, if you feel pressed, if you feel rushed and pushed into it, the best thing for you to do is back off and not do it. Because if it's a God thing, God will make room for it to make it happen. But if you feel like you're being pressed into something, pressured into something, you best not back. Because see, you've got to understand the devil's a bully. He'll try to push you into things. He wants to try to get you in trouble. So you're better off to back off and just wait. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. I've told this story before, but I remember Dad Hagin talking about a business guy that he never made any kind of decisions business. Why? He was very, very, very successful in business back, you know, in the earlier years. And so some of the businessmen got together and they said, let's go talk to him and see what his secret is. And so they come to his house and they said, we got to know. You never buy property that you don't make money on. You never enter a deal in that you're not prosperous in. You're always successful in every endeavor that you do. And we want to know how you can do that. And so he said, well, that's no problem. He said, come here, I'll show you. And so they went in with him and they went into his bedroom. And he walked over and he opened the door to a literal closet. And he said, before I ever make any kind of decision, he said, I go in there. And I shut the door, and he said, I don't make any decision till the Holy Spirit gives me peace about whether I do that or not. And he said, when the Holy Spirit gives me a peace about it and I do it, it always is successful. You see, and that's the way we need to be. We need to make sure that we're checking with the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to guide us. You know, God gave us common sense, right? Come on now. A lot of times we don't use it. Come on, let's just be honest now. There's times that we don't use our common sense. But He gave us common sense. But the Holy Spirit supersedes common sense to infinity. Okay? He is who we need to be listening to. And He will talk to you if you'll listen. He'll urge you. He'll guide. Now, He won't force you to do anything. He's a gentleman. Did you hear me? God won't make you do anything. The Holy Spirit won't make, but He will urge you. He will speak to you. He will unction you. And so we need to be listening for that unction. We need to be listening for Him to lead and guide and direct us with that still small voice that He does most of the time. It's not going to yell at you, but you're going to just have that. Some people just call it annoying. You just know that this is God. Right? And see, the more time you spend with Him, the more time you spend communicating, being in His presence, the more and more you get to know that your knowing is God. It's not just you. Right? Come on. I mean, how many times have you thought something, well, I can't tell if this is me or if it's God? Come on. The more you spend time with God, the more you begin to know this is God. The more you walk out this newness of life, listening and letting the Holy Spirit, He says, prove me. Prove me. And then He also says, try the spirits and see whether or not they be of God. In other words, listen to what's been said and see how it proves out. And you'll begin to learn what's God and what's not. Yeah, will you make some mistakes on the way? You sure will. But you learn from those mistakes and say, you know what, I'm not going to do that again. Amen. So you can get yourself in trouble by not listening to the Holy Spirit and just getting yourself in a mess. But you can get yourself in trouble by missing what He's saying and miss out on some good stuff. And He's telling us that we need to be walking out this new life, that we've been crucified with Christ, but the life we're living, now we're living by faith in the Son of God. Listen, the Word of God is how I get faith, right? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So now if I'm making my decisions based on faith in Christ, that means I'm using the Word of God as my guideline. When I make decisions, I'm going to make decisions based on the Word of God. Is this something that God would have me to do? Well, you can look in the Word of God. Is this a good thing? Is it a God thing? You can know by just listening to what the Holy Spirit says, plus checking out the Word. Now jump over here with me to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would. And let's read a little bit over here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. I just want to show you this. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Notice there that Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Everybody notice how the world thinks they're the bomb? Right? Come on, you know, most of them think they're it and think they've got it and think they know it all and think they don't need nothing. They don't need Jesus. They don't need God. But see, that's vanity. That's the vanity of their mind. They need God more than they ever know. He says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you've not so learned Christ, if so be that you've heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, that's what that word means, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be you renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice what he says here. He says, if you've learned about Christ, if Christ has come into your life, there's something you have to do. You've got to put off the old man, and you've got to put on the newness of life. It's up to you. There is, even though you've been born again, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, your body did not get born again. Your body has not changed its habits. Now, I've heard of supernaturally people getting saved, and immediately if they were drinking, they didn't crave any liquor anymore. They didn't crave cigarettes anymore. I've heard of that. But that seems to be more the exception than the rule. For most people, once they get saved, that body's just the same. Now that there's a new creature living on the inside. So what that means is that new creature has to put off that old man. In other words, when the old man tries to rise up and won't start cussing. Come on now. Some of you know, before you got born again, you cussed like a sailor. But once you got born again, you may have even slipped up and said something. But immediately the Holy Spirit just grabbed you. Says you can't say that. And before you know it, see, that's the Holy Spirit putting off that old man. The things that you used to think now, if you start to think that thought, and understand this, you can't help that the enemy injects some thoughts. Dad Hagin used to say it like this. He said, you can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you don't have to let them make a nest in your hair. In other words, you don't keep those thoughts around. You realize this thought's not God. I've got to bring it into captivity to the knowledge of God. I've got to cast down that imagination. You see, that's part of becoming that new man. So you have to put off the flesh and the things that the flesh wants, the lust of the flesh and all that. And you have to then put on the new life. What's that mean? That means I realize and know that I've got to walk this thing out. And the stuff I used to do, a lot of it I can't do no more. The places I used to go, a lot of them, I can't go there anymore. Amen. I can't do some things that I used to do. Now, there's plenty of things to do. There's plenty of ways to enjoy your Christian life, but it doesn't include sin. Amen. And see, that's what we've got to get across, because we have died out to sin. Sin no longer has hold on us, but our body still wants sometimes to gravitate into that. I use him, you know, a lot. We miss him dearly, but one of the things that Brother James Tackett used to tell me when we go somewhere and do something or whatever, if we were in Lexington or somewhere like that, he'd say, where are we going to eat at, Pastor? And I said, well, I don't know, where you going to eat at? And he said, well, just anywhere that doesn't have a bar. And I said, we'd go into another room. We won't be around the bar or anything like that. And he said, no, you don't understand. He said, I loved alcohol. And he said, I'd go to a bar just to get drunk so I could fight. And if you knew James, the way I just couldn't have seen that at all, because I knew the kind, humble, I mean, just loving man. But he was talking about his old life. See, he was talking about the old man. And he said, every time I go somewhere there's a bar, he said, it reminds me of who I used to be. And he said, I don't want that. So I understood that. And thank God for that. See, that was the Holy Spirit in him saying, you know, just don't even get around that anymore. You've been delivered from that. Don't get around it no more. And see, that's the way we need to be. When it's something that's, the Bible says for us to lay aside the sin that does so easily tempt us. And so there's things sometimes you just got to lay aside. And that's what I want to talk about next, because when we're looking at living this new life, you've got to understand that there's some things — we're talking about dying, you know, in new life, but there are some things that we've got to let die and try not to resurrect them. In our lives, there are some things that you've got to understand that there are certain feelings or emotions that we have that we've got to just let die. Amen. There are certain associations that we may have to let die and just cut them off. Amen. See, the Bible says that evil communications corrupt good manners. And what that's saying is bad company will spoil you. In other words, people you hang around us. So if you're going to walk and live in this newness of life, there are some dead things that you need to let go of. There are places that you used to go that got to be dead to you anymore now. There are people that you used to run with now, they got to be dead to you. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that you don't talk to them or anything. I'm just saying that you don't run with them like you used to. And the Bible teaches, it said, you know, they're going to think it's strange that you don't run with them and do the things you used to do. But they don't understand that now you're living for God. And them, you living for God is a sweet smell to God, but for them, it's a bad smell. Because the Bible's saying is, when they see you living for God and you're happy and you have a great life, it convicts them, because they know they're not living for God. You see, and that's our job as children of God, walking in newness of life, is to show this life to every person, be a witness of the goodness of God and how good He's been to us. We were talking about how good God has been to us. The evidence is all around us. We got to understand that we need to be part of that evidence that shows somebody the goodness of God everywhere we go. Amen. So there's some things that, you know, we've got to cut off and let die. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to jump over there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I know I'm giving you several scriptures, but we're just kind of bringing this thing along now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, if you go there with me. It says, "Be not deceived," here it is, "evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness, and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, 'How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come?' Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die, and that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed his own body." What's he just saying there? He's saying, listen, when we wake up to this thing, every one of us is going to be given a body, or given that new man, so that we can produce much fruit. And it's not that he's the same Holy Spirit, but he's going to operate different in every one of us. That's why there's the gift of the Spirit, and it talks about that they operate severally as God wills it, when God wants to, in who He wants to, and how He wants to. That's all part of this being a new creature and having ourselves walking in the newness of life, being led by the Spirit, so when God prompts you and wants to operate one of the gifts in you, He can. So we have to make sure that we're living the life that's going to produce fruit. Notice He gives us the body that's going to produce fruit. Now, producing much or quality fruit requires special attention to the task. In other words, if we're going to be fruitful people, if we're going to be witnesses, if we're going to produce the Spirit of God over to where people can see it, we're going to have to be specific to the task. In other words, you've got to be mindful of what you're doing. Mindful of the life you're living. Watching yourself when you're in the line at Walmart and there's one person at the counter and waiting on you, and there's 500 people standing there trying to get checked out. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. You're standing there and you're in a hurry. And they got some poor person up there, and they're trying to check everybody out, and everybody, you can see everybody just looking at each other, standing around, you know, and somebody's going, that's sure enough, somebody going to stand and turn around and say something. How you respond is your responsibility. Come on now. See, we don't want to hear this, but it's you. If you're going to show this newness of life, if you're going to produce fruit, then you're going to have to stay on task with it. You're going to have to realize at all times, I am a child of God, a witness for God, an example for the kingdom of God. No matter where I'm at, no matter what I'm doing, I'm going to produce fruit. People are going to see me and know that God's good to me. Pastor Ed is, she and I raise a garden, and she likes candy corn, and all of our lives we were taught, and she was taught too, that when we're planting corn, we always put three kernels to a hill. Now, some of you know, I'm not going to argue with anybody that wants to do whatever they want to do, but she and you know, the purpose of three kernels to the hill is that gives you three chances to get a stalk, right? You know, if the other two don't produce, because sometimes you get seed and it's not very good seed or whatever. But then many times, and a lot of the time, all of a sudden you've got three stalks of corn that comes up. Okay? Now, what I mean by specific to the task is this. After that gets up so big to where it's not going to affect two of them, we go through, Pastor Ed will go through, maybe a lot of times the first hoeing, and we go through and we pluck up one of those because we've successfully had three come up, but we only want two. Because, see, our task is to produce as nice a years of corn as we can for the harvest. And we found out, and it proves out, that if the more stalks you have into the hill, if you got three, then you won't produce as good of ears because a lot of the nutrition from the ground is going to raise up three stalks. And so when you pull one of those, now that nutrition is going into two stalks, which means more of the nutrition is going to go to building the ears than it is the stalks. People that have orchards of different kinds, apples, peaches, whatever, you know, one of the things that they know is they have to keep their trees pruned if they want good quality fruit. See, if you take an apple tree and you just let it just go, man, it'll have a whole lot of apples on it because that tree does that. It was made to produce apples. But here's the thing. It produces a whole lot of apples that, and they're not big enough really for you to use. But those that know, you go through, you prune a lot of the branches off of that, and now instead of all the energy of the tree going to produce a bunch of little apples, it's now going into the apples that will come on that tree and they'll be nice, big quality apples. So you actually produce more fruit by pruning. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying this. You and I, we're the stalks of corn. You and I, we're the apple trees. We need to make sure that we're allowing God to prune us so that we can produce much quality fruit. Because, I mean, you know, we can do good things for God and the kingdom of God, but God wants us producing good fruit. And that means there's some things, in order to do that, we have to cut off. Come on, we need to cut off our phones. I'm not saying just throw them away. I'm just talking about, you know, there's now, I saw a thing actually today that it's causing people problems with their texting thumbs. They're coming up with some kind of medical term for it now because they're wearing their thumbs out texting. They're also getting text neck. And you're laughing, but it's true. It's a true thing. They sit like this so much, like this right here, that the back of their necks are starting to have problems with that and problems with their thumb because they're on the phone so much. Or their iPad or whatever else they're on. Now, you know, we all use them, thank God for, you know, technology, whatever. But how many of us, have you ever looked at your screen time to see how much time you spent that week on your phone? I don't have time to study, Pastor. I'm too busy. I don't have time to get to praise. I'm too busy, Pastor. But you had 23 hours on your phone. Come on now. Let's just be honest with some things. There's some things we could prune, right? You know, you don't got to watch the whole series all at one time. You don't have to binge just because everybody binge. I know they draw you in. That's what they're supposed to do. They're made to pull you in to want to watch the next. But you don't have to set up all. You could have spent some time praying instead of finishing that other. There's some things that we can cut, right? Come on, church. I'm just showing you that there's just little things. I'm not telling you not to watch. I'm not telling you not to, you know. I'm just saying that maybe that we focus a little bit more on the task at hand, us making ourselves to the place where we can produce more fruit rather than produce some more world. Because Lord knows we don't need no more world produced. Come on, it's bad enough the way it is. It's crazy enough the way it is. It's time for the church to make sure that we get on task and make sure that we're living this life we say we have. Amen. This new life we have, we need to be living that. We need to be the example of that. Not allowing the world to dictate and tell us what's right and what's wrong. Amen. Come on. You listen to the world, man, you're going to be messed up. It's crazy. You know, I just see, you got to understand the world has, they're not spiritual. You know, the fleshly man, he cannot discern the things of God. And you know, right now in this country, they're trying to their best to pull away from Israel. Amen. If this country needs anything, it needs Israel. I'm telling you, we got to stay in with Israel because that's God's chosen people. And we've been grafted in too. That's our people. And we be blood because we have the same blood. But you see, the world's crazy enough to think that, oh, we can. I mean, you know, come on, folks. But that's, see, the way the world's turned around. I don't want to get into politics or anything, but you see all the stupidness in the world, so you can't trust the world. You can't trust a world that would give people that break into our country more money than the soldiers that are fighting for the freedom of our country. Come on now. You see, and again, I'm talking about the newness of life. We've got to be able to discern good and evil. You've got to see what's going on. You know, I understand folks wanting to come to this country. I've been to Haiti. I understand what's going on in Haiti right now, and I understand them wanting to get out of there. I'd wanted to get out of there when it was peaceful. You know, I mean, but now I really, but here's the thing: it's got to be done the right way. You know, somebody come and ask me, I might put them up for a little while. But somebody try to break into my house. Come on now. Oh, don't look at me so funny. It's the truth. You know, and even in our newness of life, you don't let somebody take advantage of you like that. You be fair. You love people. You try to help people. But at the same time, there's got to be boundaries. Come on, you as a child of God, you've got boundaries. You've got to understand that. This newness of life declares that you walk according to the bounds of the Word of God. And when you get outside those bounds, then you need to repent and ask God to forgive you and get back in. So God's given us this newness of life. He wants us to walk in it. He says we've got to die to our old self and live again through the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Jesus died for us, was resurrected so that we could live again. Tonight is Wednesday night, and we believe tonight is the night that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. You can study it out for yourself any way you want to study it. It's impossible to make Friday to Sunday morning 3 days and three nights. And it just blows my mind still the people that post, you know, they've got their little things on Facebook, you know, the Holy Week. Here's what's happening, you know, Friday crucified, Sunday resurrection. I'm saying like, you know, I've said this before. If I was an atheist, I'd eat you up with that. Because, listen, Christianity hinges on the resurrection. If Jesus didn't raise Paul says we're of all men most miserable. Right? But you can't take that and prove from Friday to Sunday, 3 days and three nights, so they can look at you and say, well, that's not right. But if you understand the Scriptures and understand that it happened on Wednesday night before the Sabbath of the Passover, then you can count your days, you count your nights, and you'll find out that you've got Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. I'm sorry, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The Jewish day ends at 6 o'clock at 6 o'clock in the evening. So Jesus rose on that third day sometime between 6 o'clock in the afternoon and 6 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning. Makes perfect sense that way. You get 3 days and three nights. But see, folks don't want to hear the word, the truth of the word. Let's just take tradition. Let's write a song about it. You know, it may feel like Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's a big hit. Because people don't know any better. You know, just because somebody sings Christian music don't mean they're theologically correct. Right? Okay. So we're going to live in newness of life, right? We're going to let the old man be dead and we're going to live in the truth of the Word of God. And that will be set free. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. I'm sorry, I took just a little longer than I wanted to. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. Thank you for tonight, God. Thank you for your Word. Thank you, Father God, that Jesus died and was planted in the ground and He rose again. And when He did, Father God, Lord, He brought forth salvation for us. That if we'll just believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He did that for us, God, and make Him Lord of our life, we'll be saved. And so we just give You praise for that and thank You that You made a way for us to go to heaven. Now, Father, I pray for every person in here. If there's one here that doesn't know You as their personal Savior, that